Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I am Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have our inspiring friend, Robert Berry, back as my guest. Today, Robert and I will be talking about his new band, 6x6, and their debut album, which is being released August 19th of this year, 2022. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Margo. How are you?
I am so happy to have you on the show. And, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to hear all that you have to tell me and all of our listeners about what's been going on with you.
You know, the prefix there is 646 to call in to your show. Oh, 646, that's pretty close to 6x6. This is a magic phone call.
I didn't even realize that. You're right. Wow.
Yep.
And you know me, I love ooga boogas.
Yeah, well, and 6, of course, is a multiple of 3, which was the best time of my life in the 80s. And, yeah, everything kind of all comes together, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so where do you want to start telling us about this? I remember you telling me, I can't remember when it was, sometime within the last year, that you were working on a new album, new songs with new people, you couldn't talk about it yet. And so how about giving me and the listeners a little bit of background on this?
It was kept a secret because, of course, the guitar player, Ian Crichton, plays in the band Saga. He's been original member Saga. The drummer, Nigel Glockler, is in Saxon, huge UK metal band. But he was also in GTR with me with Steve Howe, and that's where we met in 1987. And,
wow.
You know, my manager, Nick Shilton, who's in the UK, they called me one day. He goes, you know, this 3.2, this is the third album. You say that's it. It's a trilogy. The bands, you called 3, there's 3 albums to that style of music and the Keith Emerson Saga, legacy, and you're not going to do any more of those. I said, no. He goes, what are you going to do? What do you want to do? He goes, are you going to hang it up? Or, and I said, you know, for me to move forward, the greatest thing for me would be to find a guy that has the genius of Keith Emerson on keyboards, who makes up these great things, but on guitar. And sort of put the keyboards to the background now because I've worked with the best. How can I top that? And he said, okay, so you want to keep going. I said, only if I can find the magic ingredients that I can work with like I do with Keith. So he thought about it overnight. He calls me the next day, and he said, what about Ian Crichton from Saga? I went, oh, my God, you know, I couldn't think of anybody, but he would be perfect. He plays these solos like you can sing back. They're really great. High energy, melodic, the whole thing. But he also makes up guitar parts. He just didn't play heavy metal power chords, you know. I said, but gee, I mean, he's been in Saga for, 40 years. Why would he be even interested? So Nick figured out how to get a hold of him. And it turns out that Ian was interested. He sent me some guitar bits that he had made up that weren't used for Saga. And it was just magic. The titles that he used for these little bits were based off James Bond movies. Because, you know, when on your computer, you do the same thing. You have files, and you have, how am I going to remember that?
Right.
Oh, I'll call it Donkey, or I'll call it Tree, whatever you call it. And he would call one Skyfall. He would call one. You know, it was always James Bond thing. Oh, this is kind of cool. But the guitar riff and the title inspired me to write songs, and they just kind of poured out. And after the first song, I sent it to him. He was, like, super excited. He goes, wow, this came together, like, magically, you know? And I said, and organically. We're not trying to be anybody else. We're just doing what we do. You sent me some stuff and make a song out of it. He got so into it. I was excited. We said, who can be the drummer? And I said, you know, Nigel, even though he's in a heavy metal band, he was in GTR with me. He's super into progressive music and parts. He could play anything, but we need that really solid, heavy-hitter drummer. And Nigel wanted to do it, too. So again, we're keeping it secret for a year. So, I mean, we had no reach whatsoever for that year because, like with you, who I trust explicitly, and, you know, I would tell, but our agreement was to keep it secret. So we get signed to a major record label, Inside Out Sony, and we get the album, you know, they have everything, it's all ready to go. They put out the first single. That's the first time anybody heard about it was the day that single came out, which was Yearning to Fly. And with no reach or anything, I think in the first 6 days it got to 10 or 15,000 views. It's at 85,000 now. Now, we need 300,000, but figure that was June, I don't know, 10th or something. It's been 2 months from being unheard of, and that's at 85,000. The new one, Save the Night, is at 25,000 views, and we're gathering an audience really quickly. The third single is going to just rock it off the charts because it's a little more controversial and people will either like it or hate it, which creates press. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, that's sort of the story of it. We're committed to touring next year. We're committed to doing three albums at least together. We're a real band. We're not a project. This isn't a bunch of guys got together and said, oh, let's do a little something, and then we walk our different ways. We're committed to doing this. So I'm excited about that part of it, too.
I'm excited for you as well. And, you know, I love both the videos. And I love that the videos have the lyrics in them as well. So, you know, I don't know. It was funny because I rewatched both videos this morning on YouTube, Yearning to Fly, the first one, and Save the Night, the second one. And I have to say that well, obviously the songs grow on me, you know, because when you haven't heard a song before, you know, it tends to grow on you or you end up not liking it one way or other.
You're
it goes one way or the other usually. But I like the songs better each time I hear them. And then seeing the lyrics, I love that they have the lyrics showing in the videos because, you know, I love words and I love lyrics as well as I love music. And that's so cool, too. And I thought, oh, my gosh, those look like lyrics that Robert wrote.
yeah, definitely. And that they're inspired by those guitar parts that Ian sends me. I just go, oh, my God, I can make something so great out of this, you know. And we took a chance with the second single because it doesn't have a chorus till the end. But if you'll stick with it and you follow the story, when that chorus hits and that hand in the video ignites with the flame, you know, it's like the sun comes over the mountain, and I'm finding that people like it, that it's not your typical format with verse, chorus, you know. This goes verse, little bridge, then the chorus hits and goes on out with this great guitar solo, and it's a little different, and the sound is really based on Ian's guitar, and the voice, of course, you know. But
yeah, definitely the voice, too.
Yeah, the guitar is the featured thing, and he's making up some stuff that I'm... Every time I hear it, I'm going, man, listen to that. It's not power chords, you know. It's parts, and I'm just really thrilled. I'm so excited about it. I really am. I mean, to get another chance to do something at this level with as big a record company as Geffen was in the 80s. I mean, this is Inside Out Sony. No one's bigger than Sony now. Although, I think I told you before we started talking here that I put out a little piece saying thank you for jumping on board with this and I'm so excited about this album, you know, please watch the videos. And it had the music behind it, and the Sony people, they've caught it right away, and they silenced it. I couldn't even use my own music because we're signed to Sony. They own it, you know.
Right.
I actually just had to go through the right channels and say, hey, look, I've made this little video piece to thank the fans and the people I know. Can you post it so I can share it? And they posted it right away. They loved it. So they work with us on everything. One thing you might not know, and I'm just starting to talk about, is we have a graphic novel being designed for the whole album, which makes it more like a rock opera, but in a graphic novel, I mean, that's not like Batman, but that's what a graphic novel is. It's a story, something that happens. It's not a cartoon. And this guy, J.C. Baez, is drawing this graphic novel, and he's the real deal. He works with Peter Gabriel. He worked on some Star Trek's the thing, and he approached me on it. I said, wow, this would be incredible. And then I had to figure out what order would the songs go in where I could write a story about it. And mm-hmm. I changed a little bit of the order from the actual printed album that's going to be coming out. Mm-hmm. And this story just flowed out about this guy who sort of has a negative vision of the world, but he finds out that it's really his internal view. And if he looks for the good, he finds the good. And you know me, I'm all Mr. Positive, right?
Yeah,
and,
me too.
it's such a great graphic novel, and it's about halfway done, and it'll be released like a month after the album. I'm really excited about that, too, because it's just great work with something that came together organically. And the song, the lyrics just sort of sing through this thing. It's really, really something. I'm excited.
That's exciting. Robert, so is Sony involved in that also? I mean, or did they just have to okay it or what?
Yeah, and that was the beauty of that. This guy came to me right before the first single was out and said, look, I want to do this. I like your music. And he was actually talking about possibly with the 3.2, the second album, the third album in the series, which was Third Impression. And
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I got this new thing, this top secret, that would really be great to attach to this. So it was too late for Sony to get on board as far as releasing it with the album. So I
mm-hmm.
had the manager contact me. We got this. It's going to be a great promotion piece. And it's also, this guy's the real deal. It's going to be a great graphic novel. And they
mm-hmm.
gave us the rights to do it on our own. So
cool. Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, they're smart to do that, too, though, because the thing is, it's just going to get more people curious about the music and about the videos. And I have to say, the videos were done so well, I thought. And here's another interesting thing about it. Like I told you, I rewatched them this morning to listen to the songs and look at the lyrics. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to turn on Save the Night. I didn't get around to doing Yearning to Fly it this way as well, but
mm-hmm.
Save the Night with the volume totally turned off, just to look at the lyrics and look at the images and just kind of absorb it all, and I loved it that way too.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you guys have got something really, really cool going on here, and I've been through just about everything with you since Hush.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah,
you know, one of the cool things in this video is,
uh-huh.
yeah, and it's kind of dark, so you miss it at first, but there's a hand that has some sparks coming off it early on. And
uh-huh.
you see the sparks, and you think, well, what's that hand doing there? But when it hits those choruses at the end, right before it hits the choruses, the flame ignites inside that hand, and it just bursts into flame. And that's the point, you know? You have
mm-hmm.
to go out there, make things happen. You know, Save the Night is just something I love the sound of it, but
mm-hmm.
save your life, save the day, you know, make something happen. It all kind of heads toward that end chorus that I actually added a couple female background singers to the end chorus too, because it just needed
mm-hmm.
something spectacular. But that flame, when it ignites, it gets me every time. So I agree. You know, Bernie is the guy. He's up in the Austrian hills that does
uh-huh.
those lyric videos. He did Bond of Union for me, which
uh-huh.
is an amazing, beautiful piece of work.
Right.
Oh, God, the emotion in that. And
yeah.
he's been doing them ever since. And, yeah, he's out up in somewhere in the Austrian hills. That's all I know, you know. He's so good.
I'd love to know where, because the only time I've been to Europe, we flew into Germany, to Frankfurt, and then we stayed a night in Munich, and then we drove through Austria up to Vienna and then into Hungary to meet Dudley's Hungarian relatives, and then we came back through the Austrian Alps, which was just spectacular. I mean, oh my gosh, when I think about it, it's like one of those things I've wanted to do again for a long, long time, but it'd be fun to know where he is. Anyway,
he's in the middle of nowhere, so I'll ask him more about it next time we talk. He's working on the third single right now, video,
uh-huh.
and it's going to feature some of the pages from the graphic novel, so I'm excited about that, too, because that'll be the first time that the world is kind of exposed to the visual of the graphic novel, and it's in the controversial song, so we'll see how that pans out.
What's the title of that song? Can you say that?
Called China.
Yet?
Called China.
Mm-hmm. It's called China?
China. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Got me curious.
And, well, here's the balance in it, just to get to a little bit. It's criticizing the Chinese government, but not the Chinese people. We support the Chinese people, of course. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't
mm-hmm.
want, there's some monks there getting exterminated, and there's, I mean, all kinds of things happen in China that are just atrocious. And we wanted to get serious on one. And, you know, the song, again, got this guitar thing from Ian, and the song, mm-hmm. I actually was going to bed, laid down to go to sleep, and this finger-picking thing he sent me is going through my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped out of bed, and I had to sort of sing it into my phone. The song, it was almost done at that point. I was reading about the monks and stuff that day
uh-huh.
and talking to Nick, my manager, about it and saying, God, this I can't believe what goes on there, you know? Really? And he goes, yeah, and, you know, these monks, they're really causing problems. And I was just thinking about it, and there the lyrics appeared, and we'll see what happens if people, they just have to get it. I don't want them to think that it's against Chinese people. It's not. It's
no.
to support them and everybody else. And they probably won't. They I don't think anybody that knows me would never think that. But you never know. You know, you get these haters and stuff on all social media that like to cause trouble. So you never know. We'll see.
Well, you know, okay, I've known you for so long, since college, you know, and you are one of the kindest, most loving and creative people I've ever met, and you have never expressed hate about anyone or anything. I mean, you are all about positive, and so, you know, I already trust the fact that you created it. It's going to be worth listening to. It's going to be awesome, and I can't wait to hear it.
And we'll see. It's pretty heavy. You're going to go, eh, it's pretty heavy.
Well, you know, the funny thing about this being a guitar-based band is that I've always loved guitars, and I'd never played one. And then it was 2 years ago, I realized it was 2 years ago in May, I think it was in 2020 May, that I decided, you know, I want to learn to play the guitar. So I picked up Xander's Showmaster, that's like
mm-hmm.
the one we gave you.
Yeah.
And I've been practicing every morning after I do my morning pages and meditation and everything. It's just part of my routine, just practicing a little bit each day. And I love being able to make the sounds with it and starting to hear the notes and the chords. And so, you know, the timing for me of it coming out where it's a guitar-based album instead
yeah.
of the keyboards is perfect for me. I'm really, really curious to hear how the guitar parts come together and everything.
But
so.
Don't get too good in that guitar. Dudley doesn't need the competition. He'll take it away.
Well, it's actually Xander's guitar officially, and he hasn't officially given it to me yet. But, no, and you're right, because Dudley has been for years now wanting me to learn to play keyboards, and I keep going, no, I don't have any interest in playing keyboards, number one. Number two,
yeah.
my hands are so freaking small that I can't even reach an octave, you know.
Well, and that guitar has a really easy neck to play, too. That's a really smooth guitar.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that guitar. So anyway, that's part of my inspiration to practice every day, is that maybe someday Xander will be willing to let me have it be mine.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, good
you know,
luck
I,
is
I
right.
I only say
yeah.
that as a guy that has a lot of guitars. It's really hard to part with one. I just got to tell you.
Yeah, yeah. It's so true. You know, somebody was saying at one of the West Coast Songwriters Zooms that we were doing, we're still managers for the San Rafael one, and we've been still having a Zoom every first Thursday of the month. And this guy was saying that joke about how men tell their wives what their guitars cost, and if they die first, their wife will sell them for what they bought.
Yeah, for that,
paid
yeah.
for
yeah.
them.
$25 guitar. Oh, it cost me $300, honey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the difference is I know how much they all cost because I write the checks.
There you go. And there's also the joke where, oh, what was that? I just saw the other day where the guy, brings a new guitar home. And the wife said, oh, you got a new guitar. He goes, yeah, you like it? She goes, yeah, well, are you going to sell the old one then? That's not the point of another guitar. It's another guitar is another guitar. It's not a replacement.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
You know
but
that.
Cool
I've seen the wall. Yeah, Dudley's got those guitars up there.
Yeah, but you know, it was my idea. Because
really? When
it's in my office. And so what happened is when we had to go on Zoom because of the pandemic for Toastmasters, my Toastmasters, beloved Toastmasters club, that meets every Wednesday night. And I saw, you know, I had all these little tiny pictures up there, and I was thinking, you know, what can I put up there that would be really cool to see on Zoom? And then I thought, oh, Dudley's got all these guitars that look like works of art.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I stuck them. Well, I didn't stick them up there. I had him put them up there because there's no way I could have hung them up and, you know, not known how to do that. But, yeah, no, I love them. Guitars are such works of art. And then what they can sound like is amazing, too. But, well, let's get back to talking more about this. Okay, so back to the name of the band. And before I forget, though, I wanted to mention that I did put pictures from Neil's interview.
Oh, Neil, yes.
I want to talk about that. I put the pictures from Dave, is it Lepore, or
Dave,
how do
Lepore.
You say it?
And Dave Lepore has been doing photos for me since Hush.
Wow.
He is. Oh, my God. And what he did with this band, with these pictures, was so no makeup, Randy. It's just him putting us in the right light and outside under the – oh, my God. Ian and Nigel, I mean, they've been in famous bands their whole life. They're like, wow, that guy is really good. So Dave Lepore deserves a lot of credit for making it where you can't see the wrinkles.
Sorry. But, you know, no, but anyway, I love the pictures. So anyway, I wanted to make sure that I gave him photo credit verbally because I didn't, and, you know, I didn't want to just put them on the pictures in the slideshow. But, you know, he did a fantastic job on those. And then Neil, his interview, oh, my gosh, that is so in-depth. So I highly recommend that people check that out as well.
I got to tell you about that because – Neil, you know, he's interviewed everybody in the world, and it's a science for him. He gets deep. He knows the history of everybody besides what he's talking about. He is just one of the, you know, there's not that many journalists anymore that are true journalists. He is a true journalist. When he writes, it's poetry. So I thought, this new band has no reach, has nothing. We got zero, right, as far as people knowing about it. So I asked the manager again. I said, you know what? If we want to sort of time stamp this right at the beginning with someone that will write, for good or for bad, something about the band, I'd like to invite Anil down when we're recording because Ian came from Canada and Nigel came from England. We were working on the album. And he will be the only one that we talk to. And let's see what he does, what he organizes, because he gets so deep into it, because we have no history. We need some history. So we invited him down. It was the first time he'd done anything in person for the 2 years of the pandemic, and he was sitting right here with us. And I had to give him a copy of, you know, the demos or the album before it was done. And he wrote that off speaking to us, going to Indian food dinner, which he loved. And then listening to the music, and it was really something. It was risky because without any history of the band or the music, not knowing what anybody's going to think, I had to trust the most honest, brutally honest guy in the business that I know. You know, he's not going to, if he didn't like it, he didn't think there was anything there, he would say, oh, there's another band trying to do something. Boy, we got more bands than we need. And it wasn't that, as you know, because you read it. So anyway, I thank him. I'm very appreciative. I'm thankful that he liked it because he could be the axe man. That could have been the end of our career right there. And he asked, he said, this name. And I actually had come up with 6 foot 6, which is the length of human DNA. And that's been talked about, maybe it isn't what it, but I saw it as the length of human DNA. And there was a band already called that, a fairly well-known hip-hop band or something.
Hmm.
And we had like 100 names on a list, and I looked them all up. Everyone was taken. And I called Ian, and I called Nigel. We got on a Zoom call, the three of us, and I said, guys, I don't know what to do, you know? And I came up with this really awful, dirty word name. I said, and Ian, actually Nigel said, oh, that can't be a band name. So look it up. And sure enough, it was a band name. I said, my point is that everything's taken. And I said, what I like is the way the S looks in Saxon and the S looks in Saga, but the mm-hmm. X in Saxon is really strong. So
right.
I said, what do you think if we change it to not 6 foot six, but 6 by 6, just because the S and the X look so good? And there's, and they all liked it. It turns out there is a little country folk band that has that, that has like 4 followers, so we don't have to worry about it. And that's the only reason we took that name. Of course, for me, a multiple of 3 means something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 3
mm-hmm.
of us in the band. And so that's really how it came about.
Wow. Yeah, when I did a search for it on Google, I did come up with some other, I guess, small band that had that
yeah.
name. But your website for 6x6 is 6x6band.com, and people can go there to find out how to see the videos
yes.
and how to pre-order the album and everything as well, right?
There's like a high-tech company that has 6x6, and it's either it's a architectural company or something, and but that doesn't matter. It's a different realm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there
mm-hmm.
was one little folk band that had that, and it's a different kind of music too, so that's not even that big a deal. But we couldn't get the website away from the high-tech company. So,
I think it's actually better though that it has 6x6 band in the name
yeah.
of the website, though, because of the fact that it says what it is. I mean, so much these days doesn't say what it is.
Yeah, that's the problem with social media, huh? It's flooded with
yeah.
everybody and anything. That you could be a 6-year-old kid and decide you have a website called 6x6 and you get it.
Right. Well, and then also you were talking about the band names, and one of the things that Xander, our son Xander, you know he's our son, but the listeners might not, but he loves to come up with crazy band names, and he has a Twitter account where he posts all these crazy band names, and he and Dudley
I've
are
seen
always
it. Yeah.
Yeah, he and Dudley are always coming up with crazy ideas to put on there. And I think Xander has a friend that also contributes to it as well.
Wow. Everything's taken. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah, and I mean, that's true with song titles and book titles and TV show titles, everything. I mean, almost everything's have been done at least once before, and
it seems like yeah. it, you know. The thing is to do it, I'll use that word, organically again, the way
mm-hmm.
it comes out of your heart and soul. And that's, you know, Ian and I talk about this a lot. He goes, God, we haven't planned any of this. It just happened. It's just coming out. And I said, well, Ian, first of all, it starts with your genius on the guitar. You send me these
mm-hmm.
things that are just kind of come out of your fingers.
Wow.
It was funny because he said he's on tour with Saga now. They're up in the Netherlands. He goes,
uh-huh.
man, I'm having to really work up some of this Saga stuff again. I've been playing this all my life, but it's kind of awkward. I said, that's because Saga kind of comes from a keyboard vision. He has to fit into the keyboards. With us, it starts with Ian. What we're playing starts with him, which means it comes out naturally out of his fingers and out of his brain, which makes things easier to do.
Wow, I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. And watching
it's from
your...
inside out, yeah.
Yeah, watching your DVD for the Progstock
yeah.
concert that you guys did, we were watching that the other night, and you're right, I mean, the keyboards were such a big part of Three, and Keith
oh,
Emerson,
yeah.
obviously, and you, and the 3.2 albums, and so, you know, that's a huge part of what it's about, and that really influences the sound of, and you know, the rest of the instruments, what they can do, having
yeah.
those keyboards there. And
can you imagine how hard that was for Andrew Collier to learn all that stuff and then make it his own so he can play it at the level he's playing it at on that DVD? I mean, I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have focused that much to learn. I mean, it's a huge 2-hour show of hard keyboard stuff. You know?
Oh, I know. I know. And
amazing.
The thing is that you and Keith Emerson both can play the keyboards in such amazing ways that that he had to live up to what
I'm no
what
Keith
you guys
Emerson, I'll
do.
Tell you that, but Andrew, he's pretty that's Peter Roberts on the phone. I'm going to have to call him back. I'm sorry, my phone's ringing during our show. I thought I had it silenced, but no.
You know, I didn't hear it. I just heard you say something about it. But
Peter Roberts was the engineer here at SoundTech for 10 years, helped me build everything, wired up the old Neve console a couple years ago. He is the monitor guy with REO Speedwagon on tour. They're I forget where they're at tonight, Washington or something. And he's just the greatest guy. He did so much for my career. He was my tech in 3, and he has done so well for himself. I'm really proud of that guy. So that's who sort of interrupted our call for a minute. He's a great engineer. But honestly, I mean, the studio's black on the ceiling area. He painted this before we built it. He did everything here wiring-wise. It's just amazing his imprint on sound tech.
You know, I just love how much you give credit to all the people that help you. And it's no wonder that people want to help you because of the fact that you are so good about appreciating what they do and telling others about it, too. So,
Well,
I'm glad that we got that little interruption so that you could talk about him. And now you can tell him he has to listen to the show so that he can... He can hear about what we said about him to find
there
out.
There you
don't
go.
Tell him it was good. All right. So what do you want to talk about next about the album and what's coming up?
Well, we touched on the graphic novel. I'm pretty excited about that. I've never been involved in anything like that. I've never written a story before. And these songs weren't written to be a rock opera, let's say, but the way it unfolds, it could be an animated rock opera. I mean, I'm just so thrilled with it. That's sort of a really important part. Plus, you know, Yearning to Fly has 85,000 views now. That's in 7 weeks or so. Those are really good numbers, but I'm hoping that something catches on where, you know, we can get those Rush fans who, they're, you know, Rush isn't around anymore because Neil Peart is gone. I'm hoping we get those Yes fans because, I mean, the great Chris Squire and Alan White, they're gone. The new version of Yes isn't, you know, they're great, but they're not really Yes. There's fans looking for creative people that have something to say, and those are the people we would really like to find and have them enjoy the music at the level we're doing it at. And it's really a challenge right now. The playing field with social media, everything is laid out there. It's all a level playing field unless you can get over that hump of, I don't know, what is it? I don't even know what to call it. It's just getting the exposure where people go, well, these guys are serious and they do good work. And we like what the words say, and we enjoy the sound, you know, and whatever it is, to find that next step. And we're just, I mean, we're not even 2 months old, and it's doing pretty good. I'm just so positive and excited about it, I'm not even sure what to say. I don't want to jinx anything. It's like,
Well, okay, here's one thing that I've been thinking about. It's come to my mind a couple of times during when you've been talking about Nigel sending you the parts for the songs and then you just going, ooh, I know what I want to say, and getting up and writing
Ian.
It down. Got him mixed up. Well, I was looking at the picture and Nigel's in the middle, so he just sort of caught my eye. But the point is, though, is that remember Wayne Dyer used to always say about inspiration that when you're inspired, dormant forces, faculties, and talents become alive, and you become a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be. It's the Patanjali quote that I told you about years and years ago. But It's true, though. It's when you're inspired. It's when your heart is involved. It's not when your ego is involved. And there's a huge difference. I've been thinking about this a lot lately between an ego desire and a heart's desire. A heart's desire is something that you just feel inspired to do or to create. An ego's desire is, well, how many people can we get to watch the video? That's what the record companies want to do. You know, they deal more with the ego part of it and the money part of it,
yeah.
Which is great. But no, I mean, you guys are doing the inspired part of it. And so the rest of the people who love what you're doing will share it. I remember a commercial when I was growing up. It was a hair shampoo commercial, I think. It's, if you tell one friend, then they tell one friend, and then or they tell two friends, and then those friends tell friends, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of how those things happen, is that once people go, oh, my gosh, you've got to hear this, and then they get other people curious about it. Curiosity is huge. Curiosity is a big reason why people check things out, do things,
yep.
Listen to
oh,
things,
yeah.
Buy them, you know.
Yep. I think that is one of the beauties of social media, actually, is people are curious to see what everybody's up to, and it's, you know, it's replaced the TV shows of the early days or something. You know, people are online looking at Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and spending a lot of time on it to see what people are up to. And
mm-hmm.
It's just hard to figure out how to get to them without, like you say, the ego part of it, the business part of it, just, you know, spending money in advertising and all that stuff. We want it to be organic, just the way the bands develop. We want people to find it because, let's say, they like Rush, and the Rush fan says, you've got to hear these guys. That's
mm-hmm.
how we want it to be found. Plus, when people discover things themselves, they take some ownership in it. You know, it's like, hey, guess what I found? And
right.
you can't get a better fan than that, I think.
Yeah, that's really, really true. I am so incredibly happy for you with this new band, and I've been so curious during the last year, but I didn't want to bug you about, well, what's happening, Robert? You know, I know you trust me, and I know you do. And so, you know, I knew that there was a good reason why you couldn't talk about it yet, but boy, my curiosity has been growing all year.
I got to tell you, and the reason I didn't tell you, because I could have and said, well, just keep this secret, because
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I totally trust you in a long time, is because I wanted you to be curious. I wanted you to discover, you know, and think about it, because your show and your positivity is infectious
mm-hmm.
to the people that listen.
Yeah.
So if I would have
yeah.
told you a year ago or 6 months ago, it'd be old by now. I tell people that in the studio. You know, I'm producing people every day. When they put
yeah.
out an album, don't play all your songs while we're recording them for your friends and your family and stuff. Wait till you have your album, because then they're going to go, oh, it's here, and they'll be excited. They'll hear it for the first time. But if you've
yeah.
been playing it for the 6 months we've been working on it, they go, oh, you finally got that done. You know,
uh-huh.
it's a different thing, so...
You know, you're totally right, because they're be going, how come you don't have it done yet? In fact, that's true with our third album.
Yeah.
We've got like 6 songs, and I have all these songs I want to come down and record with you, Dudley and me. And, you know, finding time to do it, though. I mean, your time and ours coordinating is, that's always
yeah.
a challenge. But, yeah, but we've got some songs I really, 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 really want to get done. And then, you know, once we do that, then we'll have enough songs for D3, Dudley calls it. 3D.
Yeah.
D3, 3D, you know.
And you know me. I do everything in threes.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be an...
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So this will be an even more amazing album than I'd even... dreamed of, because it's got a 3 in it.
You can only hope, right? I mean, everything, all our newest stuff is always, we feel, our best stuff. The newest songs we write, we always love them. But when you look back years later,
mm-hmm.
it is still all kinds of good stuff. We were just excited at the time of the new creation, right? But you look back and
oh,
go,
yeah.
oh, this album's good too, that album's good. Now, for me, my recording qualifications have changed so much since the Hush days that I have a hard time listening to Hush because it just sound, I don't mind the material and stuff, but it just sounds bad to me. You know, now I have the most wonderful equipment that makes things so rich and full, and that doesn't mean it's new equipment. A lot of it's super old, but the quality, you know, that has something to do with sort of my history and what I love about the recording process. But some of the songs back in Hush Days, they're even okay. You know, I go, that's not so bad.
They're not okay. They're awesome. I love
that.
But
the timestamp, and that's what music is all about, the timestamp, where you're at in your life at that time it came out. And that means more than a guy like me thinking the quality isn't good enough. You know, it's the timestamp is the most important piece of music, I think.
That and how the music makes you feel. I mean, that to me is huge. How does the music make me feel?
Let's Start Living.
Yeah.
Let's Start Living. Dudley loves that song. He wants you to do that one again, that song of yours. He just peeked into my office and said, let's start living.
And that's on an, speaking of albums, that's on the album Taking It Back from Germany that they went bankrupt about a month after that album came out, and it's so rare that I can't even find one anymore.
Well, I have it.
I have one, but I think I have one with the wrong title. You know, they printed it wrong to begin with. But.
Okay, well, there's some songs on those that album and also In These Eyes and some of those other, that you need to combine. I keep thinking of what we need is Barry songs. You could have it Barry songs or Barry favorites or both. All songs that are Robert Barry, all the way from the beginning, all the way through now and the future. We have 3 minutes and 13 seconds left. Actually, now less than that.
Well, and what did you say? Should we do a half hour? I said, Margaret, there's no way we can talk just a half hour. It's not going to happen. We need longer.
You know, I just like to give you the option because then I feel good when you say 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But anyway, so seriously, though, we only have about just over two minutes left. What do you want to say to our listeners before we get going?
I just hope that people appreciate the new sound, the style. I feel inspired lyrically to be able to still write more words because sometimes I think, how am I going to come up with anything else to write about? You know, and it just comes out. In fact, when I go to bed at night, I get my phone out and I'm writing lyrics on my phone. I got all these lyrical things because I'm inspired by this new band and by the two guys I'm working with that are not only great musicians, but they're fun. Three of us from different countries makes it kind of unique. That their bands are still doing things. I'm still doing things. We're prolific. That's what it's all about for me. I've been in bands before that I won't even say the names, but well-known bands, and they won't do a new album. They won't put the next foot in front of the other, and I leave. People say, oh, you quit the band. Well, yeah, but it has to be prolific. It has to keep putting out things. If people want new music or not, I need to put out new music because that's what I do and I want to stay creative and therefore excited when I play the old songs because I have something that's new, you know. And I'm just hoping people check out the songs on YouTube to start with. If they like it, there's going to be a vinyl. I think one's in kind of a yellow, another one's supposed to be, we sort of chose Ukrainian colors on the two vinyl colors. And, of course, the CD is going to be out, and the graphic novel is going to be out. So this is the biggest release I've had since 1988 when Keith, Carl, and I put out the three album with Geffen.
I'm so happy for you and so excited and so curious to hear the whole album and see the graphic novel. We are going to be gone, so cut off in just a few seconds.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you, thank you for all of the ways that you live your music, Robert. And that includes helping other people live their music like us and other people that come to the studio. But, oh, my gosh, I am so thankful for knowing you and for all that you inspire all of us to do and all of the ways
you
do that.
You know, the most fun I have is when people come down here with their songs, and by the end of the day, they go, I just didn't think it would turn out as good as it did. I knew it would be good, but wow. You know, that is the biggest reward of my life right there.
We always smile as we start thinking about going down there, and we smile and sing along the songs on the way home.
Yeah.
You are Mr. Fun. Yeah. Well, we have lost our live audience now, so it's time for us to say bye. But anyway,
right.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And I'm really looking forward to August 19th and that new album coming out.
We will talk soon.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.